Hi, I'm Bridget Murtaugh, a program manager on the .NET team here at Microsoft. Welcome back to .NET for Apache Spark 101, where we dive into the exciting world of big data analytics within the .NET ecosystem. In this video, we'll be deploying a .NET for Apache Spark app to Azure HD Insight. But before we get into that, let's discuss the differences between running a .NET for Apache Spark app on our own computer versus in the cloud. So when we want to run a .NET for Apache Spark app on our own machine, there were a couple things that we needed to do. We needed to install some prerequisites like Java and Apache Spark. And we also needed to set some paths and environment variables to those dependencies. However, if we want to run our app or deploy it to Azure, all we need to worry about is that those dependencies and our app files are set up correctly in the cloud. We don't need to worry about setting any sort of paths on our own computer. In this video, we're specifically going to be deploying to Azure HD Insight. So Azure HD Insight is the Microsoft implementation of Apache Spark. It allows us to launch and configure Spark clusters in Azure and process data stored in Azure, such as in a blob container or in Azure Data Lake Storage. So to kick things off, I'm going to start off by going to the Azure portal, which I can just get to by doing portal.azure.com. And the Azure portal is where I can access and manage all of my different Azure resources. So within the Azure portal, I'm going to create a new resource. I'm going to click on Analytics and then select HD Insight. So there's a few different aspects that I have to configure when I want to create a new HD Insight cluster. I will call my cluster My Video Cluster, and I'm just going to leave it with my default Azure subscription. Now for cluster type, I specifically want to choose Spark, which is then going to specifically also choose Linux. And I can choose among different versions of Spark, but I'll leave it at 2.3.2. Now I just need to set a login username and password so that I can connect to my HD Insight cluster at different points, like when I run a Spark app and I want to see the output from it. So I'll go ahead and set a password. And then I'll leave this as the default. And then for resource group, I'm going to select the resource group that I always use for my Azure resources. And I'll just leave the location as East US2. I'll select Next here to move forward. And now for primary storage type, I'll leave it as Azure Storage. And I'm going to specifically create a new storage account for this cluster, which I will call Bridget Video Storage. So now that that storage account has been created, that will be associated with my cluster, I can choose a specific container name. And while this container name is the default and it would work, I'm just going to chop off the end of it here since that is kind of long to be working with in the future. I'll select Next here to move forward. Now I can review the settings that I had created for my HD Insight cluster. I can see the name and the subscription and some of the other factors that I had set up. It all looks good. It was verified, so I can say create. And now my Azure HD Insight cluster is in the process of being created. So now that our Azure HD Insight cluster has finished deploying, I can go ahead and view it in the activity log and see that deployment succeeded. So I'll go to resource. And I can see all the information that I had set up before, like the resource group and the location. And I can see that it successfully finished because its status is running. So now that the Azure HD Insight cluster has successfully been created, I'm going to go ahead and publish the app files that I need to deploy on my cluster. So I'm going to open up a new command prompt here. And I'm going to navigate to the application that I want to publish. Okay, and since the publish command's a little bit on the long side, I fortunately have it already written in another document. So I'll paste it over here. And I'm publishing my Spark app to use NetCore App 2.2 and Ubuntu. Now, even though I'm running a Windows machine, I want to use Ubuntu when I'm publishing because that is the type that my cluster requires. When I'd created my HD Insight cluster, it was running on Linux, so I don't want to publish to macOS or to Windows or anything like that. I want to publish to a version of Linux. So now that I've successfully published my app, I can go ahead into my file directory, and I will locate where my app is, my Spark app, and then I'm going to go into bin, release netcoreup 2.2, and I can see I have the Ubuntu folder here. When I click on this, I can see I have this publish folder. And within this publish folder, I have different files and DLLs that my app is going to need when it's running on the cloud. I need to upload these to my cluster. So what I'm going to do is right-click on publish, send to compressed zip folder. And so now I'm zipping up all of those files that I'll end up needing to upload to Azure. Okay, so now that I've successfully published my app, I'm going to go back to my browser, and I'm going to navigate to github.com/.net/spark. And this will bring me to the .NET for Apache Spark GitHub repo. Now from this, I need to get a couple of files also necessary for deploying my app to Azure HD Insight. So I'm going to go into the deployment folder, and I'll find install worker sh. Now this is a script necessary so that my files can be properly copied over into my cluster in the cloud. So what I'm going to do is right click, save as, and then I can just save a copy of this script to my computer. But I can see that I already have it saved, so I won't save it right now. And then one other file that I need from this GitHub repository can be found under deployment again, and specifically on the page deploying your app on the cloud. I'll scroll down and find a link to microsoft.spark.worker. Now I also need the Microsoft Spark worker so that I can determine which version of .NET Core and which version of .NET for Apache Spark I'll be running in the cloud. So I'm going to download the Linux distribution, since again my cluster is running on Linux, and I'm going to choose the netcoreup 2.1, which will also work with netcoreup 2.2, and specifically .NET for Apache Spark 0.4.0. So I'll click on this to download it. And great, so now we've downloaded all of the dependencies and files that we needed from the GitHub repository. Next, it's time to actually upload the files that my app is going to need to run in the cloud. So I'm going to do that by opening up the Azure Storage Explorer. And the Azure Storage Explorer allows us to upload and modify and work with files that we're uploading to Azure. So within the Azure Storage Explorer, I can see the different subscriptions I have on the left here. So I'm going to specifically open up the POC Azure subscription, since that is the subscription I had chosen when creating my HD Insight cluster. And I can find the BridgetVid storage, which was the storage account that I used for my cluster. I'm going to open up Blob Containers, and I can find my video cluster within there. So now I need to go ahead and upload several files to this container. So I can say upload, upload files, and I'm already within my Spark app. And I'll start off by uploading input.txt, which is the input that my file needs. Okay, so we can see that that is uploading down here. And it is successfully uploaded. So we successfully uploaded the input file our application needs to run. So now I'm going to continue uploading files. And I'm specifically going to go into bin, release, netcoreup 2.2, Ubuntu, and then I need the publish.zip, and then I also need to upload a jar file that contains more app dependencies than my app depends on. And so I can choose 2.3 or 2.4 depending on which version of Spark I want to use. In this case, I'll upload both to be safe, but since I'd specifically chosen Apache Spark version 2.3 to run on my HD Insight cluster, I could just upload this first jar file. So I'm going to upload those three files. And then as those upload, I can continue on. And now the next thing is that I want to upload the two dependencies that I had downloaded from the Spark.NET GitHub repo. So if I go into downloads, if I say install worker.sh, we want to upload that since that is a necessary script for our HD Insight cluster. And then we also want to upload the Microsoft.Spark worker release that we had downloaded. I'll make sure that I'm specifically uploading the one that was for NetCore App 2.1 and version 0.4.0. We want to make sure, because this one is actually a Windows version, we want to make sure that we're specifically uploading an Ubuntu distribution since our cluster is going to be running on Linux. Okay, just going to rename that. And now we can upload the Microsoft Spark Worker, which is the final file we needed to upload to run our app with Azure HD Insight. Okay, so now that all of our files have uploaded, we can go ahead and connect to our Azure HD Insight cluster and try actually submitting our Spark app to it. So I'm going to go back to the browser and back to the Azure portal. So I'm still in my video cluster, and I'm going to go to SSH and cluster login. Now SSH will allow me to connect to my cluster through a terminal. So I'm going to select the host name, then use this to copy it. Then I'm going to open up a new terminal, and I will right-click to SSH into my cluster. Say yes. And then I just need to enter the password that I had set for my cluster during cluster creation. Okay, so we can see I've successfully logged into my cluster using SSH. Now, before I can actually run the Spark submit command, there's one more step that I need to complete. So I'm going to go back to the Azure portal and then select script actions. So I'm going to submit a new script action, and it will be a custom script that I'm calling install worker. Now here I need to link to wherever I had uploaded installworker.sh. So I can find that information by going back to the Azure Storage Explorer, and I will locate installworker.sh, click on properties, and then I can go down here and find this link. So I'm going to copy that, go back to the browser, and I can paste that in. Next, I want to say I'm specifically working with worker nodes, and then I need to set some parameters. So again, since it can take a little bit of time to type those in, I conveniently already have that set up right here. So if I go back here and paste in my parameters, here I'm specifically working with Azure. I have a link to my Microsoft Spark Worker release, and make sure you're using the WASBs format. Don't use a format that starts with HTTPS because your script won't run successfully with that. And then a location user local bin. I'll say create. And now my script was submitted successfully and is going to be running on my cluster. Okay, so we can see that our script has finished running and it was successful since its status has a green check mark next to it. So that was the final step we needed to do before being able to run Spark Submit. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll open up a new terminal here, just since we have run that new script command. And again, I'll go back to the Azure portal, click on SSH and cluster login, select my host name, copy it, and then paste it back into this terminal so that I can log in. Let me set the password. Now I've successfully logged into my cluster. So now all I need to do is run spark submit. And it's important to run the spark submit command with this exact indentation. You don't want to run it with all as just one continuous line. And we can see here that we're running spark submit with the .NET runner, as always, link to the jar file, link to the publish.zip, and then the name of our app, which is my Spark app. So I'm going to right-click into the terminal to paste that in. And now our application is going to start running, or it's going to try to run. So we can see that we didn't actually get the input we had expected. With my Spark app, it's supposed to be the simple word count example, but we didn't see that table output anywhere. So what ended up happening is that we can see that we have an exception here. The path does not exist. And we can see that it's an issue with input.txt. Specifically, our program was looking for input.txt, which is the input to our Spark application, in the user/SSH user folder. Now, when we had uploaded input.txt to Azure Storage, we didn't upload it there. So let's go ahead and do that and give it another shot. So I'm going to open up the Azure Storage Explorer again, scroll to the top, select user, and then SSH user. And yeah, we can see that input.txt isn't in here. So I'm going to go to upload files, and I'm just going to re-upload input.txt, but specifically to this folder. I'll navigate to my Spark app. And then here is the input file. I'll open it and upload it. And now we've successfully uploaded our input file to the correct location it should have been. So if I'll go back to my terminal here, I'll go to the bottom, and then I'm going to run the same spark submit command and see what happens. And now we can see that after some time, we were able to find that word count table, which we had expected to see the first time around, which is the exact output from my Spark app that we had determined should be output. Thanks for joining me in this video, where we deployed a .NET for Apache Spark application to Azure HD Insight. I hope you enjoyed the .NET for Apache Spark 101 video series, where we dove into the exciting world of big data analytics within the .NET ecosystem, including running apps locally and in the cloud, writing batch apps, streaming apps, machine learning apps, and learning the overall point and structure of Apache Spark and .NET for Apache Spark. Be sure to check out the GitHub repository for .NET for Apache Spark and our page on the .NET website to learn more and to participate in the exciting world of big data and .NET.